We're going to talk about how sports teams are getting in on the action. We're also going to pick up our discussion about cryptocurrency mining and if it's even worth it for the little guy, the individual. And then in the second part of the show, how to make major gains off this expected big increase in the price of crude oil. I'm Andy Gersher. This is Gains. Okay, real quick, before we get started, do me a solid. Be sure to subscribe, follow, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I've been told that's podcast gold, and I'd really appreciate it. And then also subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when we have a new episode. All right, let's continue the cryptocurrency conversation with one of my go-to guys, Bill Ulivieri, owner of Senecal Capital Management in Glenview, and the website senecalcapital.com. That's CENACLE capital.com. Hey, glad to have you back, Bill. How you doing?
Andy, I'm doing great. It's so great to be back with you and you know, talking about cryptocurrencies. This is just so exciting.
Little fresh news. The New England Patriots are partnering with a company that could lead to the NFL's first fan token. What are they doing here? They're partnering with a company called Socios. So what is this all about? They're talking about having the NFL's first fan token. It just seems very interesting. And you have, you know, the Patriots getting in on this.
Right, Andy. So this thing is moving very quickly, almost simultaneously. So over in Europe, European football, soccer is very, it's just crazy popular. And so they've already done this. This company, Socios, has already partnered with, you know, dozens of soccer teams overseas. And what it is Socios is a platform that you download on your phone, and it provides you with fan engagement where every team can have their own cryptocurrency token. It's a fan token. And kind of like, it's like real-time fantasy football, except they're real tokens that you're buying and selling in your portfolio. So you can own a share of the influence of your team. So if you are a Chicago Bears fan or a Packers fan, or and mind you, I'm not a sports guy. I've never read a sports page. I don't know who's in the World Series or any of that stuff. But I dig the way sports teams are going to be able to engage their fans on a level never, ever possibly imagined a few years ago.
Using blockchain technology. Yeah.
Right. So I can actually, you know, the Green Bay Packers, I do know, are kind of like a city owned team. It isn't, I don't think the majority of ownership actually is with one person or two people, like it here is in Chicago with the McCaskies. So here you have an opportunity where a team can sell, quote unquote, offer their fan tokens as a reward for being an ultimate fan. So you get to help your team make the right decisions by voting on official polls. You get to earn rewards by playing and chatting and winning prizes on their app. You get to follow the rise and fall of your team and players. You get to actually own a share of the influence of your own team. So there was an announcement made, you know, several months ago that Socios made a deal with the National Football League, the National Hockey League, the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Like, these people are going to be able to monetize all their special sport moments by converting these and minting them into non-fungible tokens. So can you imagine Walter Payton, Michael Jordan, like all the famous players? And again, I don't really know sports that well, but you name all the famous players in the last 10 or 15, 20 years, if you could take that little bit of highlight and save it digitally and then mint it and convert it into a cryptocurrency, you could create a limited edition of Michael Jordan famous shots, or Paxton when he made that 1 3-pointer at the end of the whatever game that was. It was like the only game I watched. And you can, again, it's like where American Idol meets The Voice meets Major League Sports. So again, this is a great way to build fan engagement. People soon are going to have an app on their phone where they can actually vote on the play that gets done in the final moments of of a national championship, right? Or maybe they have a say in the pick and the drafting of players, rather than it being hierarchical down where it's the players and it's the coaches and the owners are making the decisions. How about if we let the fans make their decisions? How about if we let the people who have skin in the game make the decision of who's going to be playing, who's going to lead off, who's going to kick off, who's going to play first, second, and third base? I mean, can you imagine the massive amount of fan engagement that you could have by betting on the Chicago Bears and actually submitting a vote on how whether we're going to do a Hail Mary pass or whether we're going to punt the ball? And then what if I own Green Bay Packer tokens and I submit even the worst decisions that they should be making? So here I am, a Chicago fans club, a Chicago Bears fan, and I can own tokens of the opposing team. I mean, it's like, I don't see how this doesn't cut out Las Vegas, to be honest with you. I'm not quite sure how this is going to play out. All I know is that they're giving massive amounts of power, voting power, to fans in a way that's just never been explored before. I think it's crazy interesting.
Yeah, the NBA is getting involved on this type of thing as well. And you mentioned football, a.k.a. soccer, major, major clubs out of Europe and are have taken place or have, come up with their own tokens. And the other thing that's interesting is, from what I understand, for football in Europe, some of the clubs and fan engagement actually does have more of an influence on moves that a club would make. That's certainly interesting. So they expect to see this more widespread. And I mean, where can they how far can they take this?
Well, listen, I can only speak as someone who really is not that involved in sports, but I look at it and I say to myself, when you go to Wrigley Field, right, and you buy a piece of sports, clothing, you buy a hat, you have a shirt, you have a jersey, you buy all this paraphernalia, and it all has a holographic licensing sticker on it that proves that the licensing fee was paid to the sports team. Let's just call it the Major League Baseball, right? And so it allows them to monetize all the sportswear, all the swag, everything that you see at a stadium. And what if, in addition to that, you could monetize the special moments of the play that you've taken your grandson to, or you're sitting there and like this amazing last minute play was done that's super exciting. They can capture that on video. They can license it using their licensing power and authority, because all those minutes, all that stuff is owned by the NFL or by the Major League Sports team, right? The MLB. And so there's a way of monetizing to a whole new level individual moments and signatures, like the Tiger Woods signatures are minted as NFTs. They can go between $2,000 and $5,000. What if Tiger Woods makes this amazing comeback, he was injured, he comes back, it's the highlight of his career. Those signatures could be worth a fortune, and maybe he'll only sign 10 golf balls or 10 clubs or 10 hats or 10 something, right? And you can monetize that digitally and mint it as a non-fungible token. And look at this. I mean, I was at a host, dozens and dozens of fundraising events over the years in the 90s and early 2000s, where they always had basketballs and baseballs signed by Michael Jordan and other players, and they went for astronomical fees. But the truth is, you really weren't sure if it was signed by them. I mean, you believe that they were, and am I going to say that every basketball signed by Michael Jordan or the team was actually done by him in a locker room? Yeah, I guess it's possible, but the skeptic in me says, well, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was just, some people in the garage with great signatures, signing basketballs. Well, here's a way of putting on a blockchain, a legitimate way of having provenance of every kind of sports paraphernalia ever produced, like in going forward. When you play, listen, and again, when you're playing sports, when you're watching the final championship in a game, I don't know how the odds change during the day. I don't know how much you can bet from one play to the next or one quarter of the next, but.
Oh yeah. It's like that it's amazing how the gambling and the lines on sports is in real time. If you've missed the game and you couldn't get a bet in, you can bet on the second half. You can bet. It's amazing what they've done there. And I got to think that there's got to be a blockchain component to it. One thing I wanted to throw in, this company you're talking about, and it's funny you mentioned this to me when I called you earlier today. You mentioned that there's a Chili's crypto yes. token associated with this. It had popped up on my eToro last night. You can't trade it in the U.S. But I was wondering what this Chili's, the ticker CHZ, I was wondering what this Chili's token was. So explain that. That's the token on this platform that you're talking about.
Correct. So CHZ is the actual application. That's like the portal that you have to get into in order to get your rewards, participate in polls, you know, get into the locker room, and where you can own the influence of a major league soccer team or a basketball team, right? And that's where we're going forward. And the token that Socios uses is called Chili's, CHZ. That's the symbol. It's trading for about 54 cents per token. Again, it's not available in the United States yet, but it has, if I can pull up my screen here, I can tell you what the market capitalization is. I think it's around $2.5 billion. And so the question is, what is fan engagement worth in all major league sports played in the United States? I don't know. I don't even know how to guess that.
Right.
But I'm just saying now for the first time, even me, who's like a non-sports guy, I don't know anything about players at all. But if I think that the Chicago Bears or the Packers or New England Patriots might possibly do good, even me as a non-sports person could theoretically someday buy it on El Toro, or maybe Coinbase will offer it someday, and I can trade the range of certain fans and certain sports teams. I don't know. I just think it's incredibly exciting. And like I said before, I don't know anything about sports, but this to me is an amazing way of monetizing sports to a whole new level. During the pandemic, when people can't even show up in the stadium without wearing masks or being vaccinated, like, here's a way of participating in a really exciting new way that hadn't really occurred to, I think, most people. And so I think the potential is still so new, so raw.
It's really interesting because it is it's one of the largest blockchains for not only game crowdfunding, but also it has an esports component to it. And so, being that currency on, and how do you say it? Socios? Socios?
Platform? I usually say Socios. Because I know a guy whose last name is spelled the same way, and that's how he pronounces it.
All right, well, so we'll go with that. Socios. Mm-hmm. And again, it's very, very popular and widely used in Europe right now. So that's certainly a crypto that folks should maybe start putting on their radar.
Absolutely. Again, it's about a $3.26 billion market cap. It's up 6.78% in the last 24 hours. It's down 64% from its all-time high, which was made in March of this year, 2021. And again, I just think if Major League Sports is looking for, and they're all about monetizing it, right? I mean, they're all about making money. And so, you know, they're going to be looking for ways to do this. And, you know, we heard recently, Andy, you know, we're both from Chicago, that the Chicago Bears was thinking of buying the Arlington Park racetrack and doing something with that out there. What if they turned that into like an esports facility, where rather than us people in the suburbs drive down through an hour of traffic one way, an hour back, park the car, you know, drive through Chicago, which has its fits and spurts of safety and security for family members. Like, I don't want to go down that road, but what if they opened up like a satellite office in Arlington Heights so that all the families in the suburbs could go to the Arlington Park racetrack? It's now called the McCaskey Park. They do esports. They have, you know, fan-based tokens. They've put a roof over the place so you can watch screens, kind of like this Black Mirror episode where you have these avatars of people all over the world are betting on games, and it's actually happening simultaneously in downtown Chicago in real time, and it's happening out in Arlington Heights, and the fan tokens are being broadcast everywhere. I mean, it's like the imagination is what's holding us back from doing all of this, and some regulation, of course, right? So we have the SEC is very careful about how people purchase and list tokens. So I hate to see this actually being happening in Europe first. I wish it was happening here in the U.S., but we're getting there. We're going to be there really soon.
And this is certainly another crypto token to keep an eye on. That's, you know, ticker CHZ. Real quick, we had talked about the last time you were on, we were talking about mining crypto. And I think one of the big myths out there, and I've talked to a couple people that were pretty successful with it early on, some people who did Bitcoin really, really early on and have delved into some of these other cryptos. But I think one of the myths out there now is, oh, any individual can get a put together a crypto mining rig and it's just a profit generator. That's not necessarily the case. And you've built some rigs. So tell us what you found, Bill, along the way, you know?
Well, you know, I built my first rig with my son who was homeschooled in 2016. And we did it just as a fun science project, right? And so it was fun to learn about crypto. I'm a learn by doing kind of guy. And so we built it just for fun. And it was great. I mean, it was a great experience, but that was then, and this is now. And in 2016 and 2017, the rewards for mining cryptocurrency were extraordinarily high. Today, if you're breaking even, if you're making money, I'm almost surprised. But, you know, there's two ways you can mine, Andy. One is the proof of work mining tokens like Bitcoin and Ethereum. Ethereum Classic, Beam, Callisto, and Ravencoin. And I'll give you this website. The website is called whattomine.com. Whattomine.com. Anybody can go there and look up to see what is the profitability on mining something called a GPU token, like Ethereum or Ravencoin, or an ASIC. ASIC is the type of platform and mining machine you need for Bitcoin or Digibyte. Bitcoin Cash, Litecoin Cash. And again, it's power intensive. The difficulty has gone up exponentially in terms of what it takes to receive a reward. So in my opinion, mining is no longer profitable unless you are a huge endeavor. Your private equity, your venture capital, you get investors together and you find a location where you can get energy and good regulatory clarity, and the local towns folks don't mind that you're making all this noise from the cryptocurrency mining machine. So
the big guys are the only ones who really can make money because it's just a totally different animal than 5 years ago. So this whole idea that the guy or gal in their basement can buy this equipment and start mining cryptos at this high level of profit seems unrealistic in most cases. And I'm glad you mentioned that website. You said it's whattomine.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that might be
mine.com, exactly.
Yeah, you can at least look at that. But it seems that what you're saying is big corporations that are doing heavy duty mining and have gone through and have it located in the right spot with the right regulatory structure behind it, those are the only ones who are now making money. And a lot of those are like publicly traded companies now, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And I don't remember the names of the companies off the top of my head, but I do have them in one of my portfolios. And so right now, if you were to buy maybe a top of the line Bitcoin miner, you might spend $6,000 or $7,000 on the machine. And at the low, actually, Illinois has pretty low electrical rates. You might make a couple of $100 a year, right? Maybe $500 a year. I'm sorry, $500 a month, which would pay for your machine in 1 year. Now, I know it sounds like a lot of money, but the truth is it's incredibly noisy. It throws off a tremendous amount of heat.
And there's a lot of power. I mean, it's a lot of power running all the time. So, I guess if you're doing that in warehouses and on a big scale, it's doable. It sounds like you're going to barely make, because after you factor in the energy too, I mean, it takes such an enormous amount of energy and you're not making that much. And then you're buying this expensive piece of equipment. It just says net, it just seems like a lot of effort for not much reward.
Again, if you were to chart the difficulty and the amount of mining power in Bitcoin, it's like an escalator that goes from the lower left to the upper right. So other than when China banned Bitcoin mining and we saw a huge drop in the difficulty adjustment, that's come back up again. So I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I'm not saying it isn't fun. I'm not saying it isn't a learning experience. All I'm saying is that if you spend $5,000 or $6,000 on a Bitcoin mining machine and you plug it in and run it for a year, yeah, you'll be net positive at the end of the year. But again, the difficulty keeps getting harder and harder and harder. And we don't know what that's going to look like in the future, like in a year from now. What if the difficulty increases 20 or 30 or 40%? Your financial projections might be way off. So if you're going to do it for fun. Right? Do it as a hobby. I don't think it's, unless you're a big player, you're better off maybe owning shares in companies that are raising $60, $70, $80, $100 million and putting in these massive commercial projects in the United States.
Well, hey, let's leave it there. Again, covered a bunch of ground. And next week, Bill, why don't we've discussed this before. Why don't we talk about those go-to books and resources that are must read, especially as, you know, as we're heading into the holidays, maybe you want to give a little Christmas or holiday gift or just for your own self, just to learn more about this stuff. We're going to come up. Bill and I are going to curate a list of books and we're going to talk about them. Is next week probably work for you?
I'm here for you.
All right. So, yeah. So we'll do that. So next time we'll have Bill on next week for sure. And we're going to come up with some great books and resources so you can learn more about this. So, hey, thanks again, Bill. Always love having you on. And any parting words here as we wrap up the week?
As Bitcoin goes, so goes the market. And so Bitcoin has had a little bit of a pullback this week. But really, we're still in the early stages. We're in the first inning, I believe, of a massive, massive new asset class that's going to be changing the world. Philanthropy, sports, there isn't one corner of the world, of the financial services world, or anything that you and I have our fingers in that won't be touched by blockchain solution in the future. This is just an amazing time to be alive.
And to be at the ground floor of all of this, and the you know, there is downside potential, but also gains potential, is just out of this world. Well, hey, Bill, that's Bill Ulivary, owner of Senecal Capital Management in Glenview. Be sure to check out his website, senecalcapital.com. Bill, give us that number for the newsletter, the text, you know, how you text a number. Let's leave with that. What do our gains listeners have to do to get info from you?
So if you use your phone and you text the word blockchain to the number 22828, that's blockchain to 22828, just text that word to that number, and you'll receive a response asking you just to include an email address into a little form handler, so to speak, and you'll get our Blockchain Advisor newsletter. You know, I send out a newsletter. It's about 6 or 8 pages every 10 days or so to highlight the stock market, currency market, credit market, and of course, cryptocurrency. And I would love to have people sign up and give me feedback on what type of things they would like to look at. I try to focus on the Grayscale investment products and focus on the Coinbase platform because that's where I see most adoption by your average investor and speculator. You know, it's kind of janky still, you know, getting on an exchange and using the swapping services that you had mentioned last week. So text the word blockchain to 22828 and receive our newsletter. We'd love to have you guys aboard.
Yeah, I just recently did that. And like you said, you text blockchain to the number he just mentioned. You get a text back and then just give them your email. And next thing you know, you got this information showing up in your inbox, which is
you can opt out at any time. So there's no obligation whatsoever. It's just my thoughts. It helps me by doing the newsletter. It helps me stay on top of what's going on in the world of cryptocurrency, digital assets, and of course the regular stock, bond, and commodity markets. So
outstanding. Outstanding. Well, hey, thanks, Bill. We'll talk about must reads next week. And Phil Flynn is going to join us in a second right after the commercial break. So just hang tight. We're going to go to a spot, and then we're going to talk about big gains in oil with Phil Flynn on the other side of the break. Hang tight.